Thank you for joining us today. For more information about our service times, visit okoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at okoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Aren't you thankful to be in the house of the Lord today? Hey, take your Bible, whether it's in book form or digital form. I want you to take it out. I want you to hold it high in the air. This is a quiz to see who brought their Bible to the house of God. Come on, somebody. Say this after me. This is my Bible. God's holy word. I am what it says I am. I will do what it says for me to do. I place myself under the authority of God's word. It says I am blessed. Therefore I am blessed. It says I am an overcomer. Therefore I overcome every obstacle, every challenge, and every hindrance through the name above every name, Jesus Christ. I open my heart. I open my mind to receive God's word. I receive this word and I confess this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. You passed the test. Now take that Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. Mark's Gospel chapter 10, continuing in this chapter from last week. And today we will notice a passage that reminds us that Jesus always, he always takes notice of what is happening in unexpected places. Aren't you thankful that he takes notice of what is happening in unexpected places? We continue our series this morning on the road to Jerusalem. And I have titled my thoughts, "The Blind Shall See." Let's begin reading in verse 46 out of the New Living Translation. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And when Jesus heard him, get that in your spirit. When Jesus heard him, he stopped by and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling for you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. Imagine you're sitting there. The eyes of everyone is on you. Jesus, the Son of David, has now asked you, "What do you want me to do for you?" Cause that question to be a part of your inward response today. Why did you come to the house of God? What are you expecting Jesus to do for you today? Better yet, what do you need Jesus to do for you today? How can Jesus work in your life? How can he move in your family? How can he work and move in your situation? "What can I do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. If Jesus worked in your life, Would you be willing to follow him down the road to Jerusalem? With what Jesus has done in your life already, are you willing to follow Jesus down the road? You know, I've heard people say this from time to time. You know, the Lord doesn't have time for me. We say things like, oh, the Lord's too busy. I mean, really, can God, I mean, the creator of everything, can he really be too busy? Our story reminds us he is never too busy. Our story reminds us that his ears are open to our cry. Psalm 34, verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. The fact that you are a follower of Jesus, the fact that you have a heart after the things of God, the word says his ears are open to your cry. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, God, having a conversation with Moses, said this, I have heard their cries and I am aware of their suffering. And I think someone needs to hear this today. God is aware of your suffering. He has heard your cries. And the word of God is filled with example after example of the Lord intervening in desperate situations. So today I've come to remind you that God is present to intervene in your life. He is here today to intervene in your family, in your situation. Through this story, we will learn one of those desperate cries got the attention of Jesus, because this individual knew that Jesus could solve his problem. Jesus can solve the problems that you're facing today because he's the peacemaker. His name is Prince of Peace. He can solve your problems because he is the healer. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who hears. He is the restorer. He is our deliverer. He is faithful and true. He can help you because our God, our Christ, is good. He is refreshing. He is anointed. He is life. He is endless. And Jesus is a friend. He is your Savior. He's more than enough. He is resurrection and he is life on this Palm Sunday. Notice in your notes, the first thing we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the situation. So the first fill in the blank is this, the situation. Verse 46, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him, and there was a blind man named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. Now, a little bit of background about the city of Jericho. We are familiar with this city in the Old Testament. For the time of the first century, Jericho was one of the last towns before the traveler reaches the outskirts of Jerusalem, just a mere day walk away. So we see that Jesus and his disciples, with a growing crowd of fellow pilgrims, leaving this last town for this treacherous climb up from the Jordan Valley to the city of Jerusalem. We know what is going to befall Jesus in Jerusalem. We have read the story. Jesus has been telling his disciples, and just a few verses earlier, Jesus described that in Jerusalem he would be rejected. In Jerusalem he would be betrayed. In Jerusalem he would be spit upon and mocked, and he would be crucified. But on the third day, he would rise again. But yet the disciples still did not quite understand. There was blindness on their eyes. Even though Jesus told them, they could not see. And as they're leaving Jericho, an unexpected traveler begins to follow them. As Jesus is leaving town, Mark tells us a large crowd was following Jesus, and they're leaving there. There's an encounter which takes place. And Bruce Barton writes this in his commentary: Jericho, with its fairly wealthy inhabitants, was a popular location for beggars. And Mark describes this man was blind. But not only was he blind, but write this word, he was a beggar. And he's there beside the road, he is begging. Mark is describing the desperate need before us. Sitting beside the road, his only means of survival is to beg others for assistance. Now, theologians tell us that this would have been a common sight outside the gates of Jericho. And possibly there were other unfortunate people begging too, but it was this blind man that would get the attention of Christ. Now, imagine if this were so. What caused this man to get his attention when no one else did? If there were others begging, what caused this man's cry to be a little more? We know there was a crowd because Mark tells us. We know there is those following Jesus because Mark describes it to us. But there is one who got the attention of Jesus. His name is Bartimaeus, which brings us to our second point. And I want you to write this word. Write the word kairos. And you'll see it on your screen, kairos. It's actually a Greek word for an appointed time. This, in a very real sense, was Bartimaeus' time. In a real sense, it was Bartimaeus' day. An appointed time. Let me pause here and tell you, I believe now is the time for a miracle in your house. One of the scriptures that Jesus read earlier in his ministry when he was in the synagogue and they asked him to read from the book of Isaiah, and they handed him the scroll, and Jesus took the scroll, he unrolled it, he found the place where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he has anointed me to open the eyes of the blind, to preach the gospel to the poor, and to mend the heart of the bruised." And in some translations, it says, "and to preach the year of Jubilee." And that word Jubilee is the time of the Lord's favor has come. To declare that now is the time, that now is that kairos moment, that now is that opportunity for the Lord to work and to move in your life. And church, I believe today there is a kairos moment for you here at Glad Tidings. There is an appointed time, and we're living in this season where you and I can receive from the Lord that he hears our cry and he's come to help us. And just like he heals blind Bartimaeus, he will touch your heart and your life. He will heal you of the ailment, of the circumstances. He'll bring reconciliation in your family. He'll bring freedom and deliverance to your life. It's an appointed time, a kairos moment. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And others around began to say, "Be quiet." But then he shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." See, Jesus was close. He was in the vicinity. He may have been blind, but there's nothing wrong with his hearing. He heard. Something began to well up inside of him. Something began to tell him, "This is your moment." Something began to arise within him to seize the opportunity, to seize the moment. In this, you see a sense of urgency comes upon Bartimaeus. Listen to his cry. He began to shout, "Son of David, have mercy." Let me give you an observation that I have. Bartimaeus initiated the action. So often we're waiting for God to give us another sign. So often we're waiting for God to move first. Something to break loose before we act. As if God is on performance for us. You'll notice that that is founded in a little bit of pride because it's like, Lord, we're playing the violin. We need you to dance for us. We need you to do something. And then, Lord, I'll begin to cry. I'll begin to worship because Aunt Sue over here is getting happy, so the Lord must be here. Or Uncle Bob over here, God, he's got to dance, and the Lord must be in the house, so then I'm going to step into the river. What would happen if you didn't wait for another sign? What would happen if you didn't look as if God had to perform to work and move in your life? What if you began to cry right now? What if you began to worship him? What if you began to let the cry arise from your heart and your soul and you said, this is my Kairos moment. This is my opportunity. I don't care what everybody else says. I don't care what they're doing. I've come to the house of God today because I need him to help me. I need him to touch me. They don't know what I've gone through. They don't know what I've experienced. They haven't seen the tears I've cried. They haven't seen the heartache I've walked through. I'm here today to give God praise. I'm here today and I'm crying out like blind Bartimaeus saying, Lord, have mercy on me. It's amazing that Bartimaeus saw something others did not see. Bartimaeus initiated the action. So often we're waiting for God to move, a sign to be given, something to break loose before we act. Not Bartimaeus. He initiated the contact. You might say, well, how? Through a cry. He began to cry aloud. He began to shout. There is power in a cry. There's power. In a cry, Bartimaeus didn't wait for an invitation. He heard Jesus was coming. See, I want to be careful today because I could, you know, sometimes we're waiting for an invitation. You just need to show up. You just need to go ahead. Can I tell you, he's already gave you the invitation. He's already invited you to come. You just got to step into your rightful authority in Christ Jesus. You got to say, I'm a child of God. This is God's house. I've come for the children's bread. I've come today for fresh bread from heaven. I don't care what anybody else says or what anybody else is doing. I come today to receive from Jesus. Their cry began to rise. He wanted to get his attention, so he raised his voice and he called out. What preceded Jesus calling Bartimaeus out for a miracle was his cry. The beginning of the miracle started when he heard that Jesus was coming. And he made a decision, I'm going to call out to him. The miracle started then. Notice several things about this cry. It's a cry, write this, for mercy. One theologian writes, Bartimaeus was expressing faith in the one he knew could help him, the expected Messiah, and he begged for mercy. When you know the one you're crying out to has the power to help, you cry out for mercy. In church, if there's ever been a time that we need God's mercy, it is today. If there's ever been a time our nation needs God's mercy, it's today. If there's ever been a time our world needs God's mercy, it is today. I wish there was a church who would cry out like blind Bartimaeus, say, Lord, have mercy on us. We cannot fix ourselves. Have mercy on us, God. Hate fills the streets of America. Have mercy on us. Lord, division is in our homes. Have mercy upon us. Church, may we cry out for God's mercy. The Jews understood that the sign of the Messianic age would be that the Messiah would open the eyes of the blind. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5, it says, when the Messiah comes, he will open the eyes of the blind, unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. And Bartimaeus knew. He heard. He couldn't see, but he heard. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He didn't see Jesus. He was unable to see, but there was nothing wrong with his hearing. Faith was released. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's amazing what happens when your inner man stirred. It's amazing what happens when your inner man, your spirit begins to hear what thus saith the Lord is. Hear the promise of God. I will answer them when they call upon me. It's amazing what your spirit man is quickened and how he is encouraged. When you hear that word and faith is produced in your heart that he's come to heal the brokenhearted. He's come to open the eyes of the blind. I wish there were some folk that had an inner ear today that had faith that would say what God has promised, he's also going to bring to completion. What God has started, he's also going to complete. The promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. I wish there were some folk who would say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I won't live in lack. I won't live with nothing, but goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, because faith tells me God is going to fight my battle. God is going to help me. Write this is a cry of desperation. A cry of desperation is an urgent cry. A cry of desperation is a loud cry. It's amazing what happens when you don't care who hears it. It's amazing how you can worship when you don't care who sees you. Cry of desperation is a loud cry. A cry of desperation is a persistent cry. Persistent means not just one time, not just three or four times, but time and time again. I don't care how many times you come to this altar. I don't care how many times you get excited about the song they sing and do it one more time. Because persistence, for he who seeks shall find. He who asks shall receive. He who keeps knocking, the door shall be open. The word of God is plain that persistence causes the answers to come forth. Not only is a cry of desperation, it's a cry of faith. Jesus, son of David, Bartimaeus said. This blind beggar could see that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, while so many who witnesses Jesus' miracles were blind to his identity, refusing to open their eyes to the truth. See, seeing with one's eyes does not guarantee seeing with one's heart. It's amazing the contrast that Mark is really bringing to us here in chapter 10. Last Sunday, we preached about the rich man. The rich man that came to Jesus and said, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus responded to him, why do you call me good? Only the Father is good. He's trying to establish this man's faith. He's trying to get him to understand who it was standing before him. Well, you must keep the commandments. Well, since a young boy, I have done all these things. And then Jesus said, one thing you have lacked. Go and sell all that you have and give it away. Come and follow me. The man that had everything left with nothing. He hung his head in shame because he could not make the commitment to follow Jesus to Jerusalem. And here is a blind man, has nothing, you will soon find, leaves with everything. How many of us seem to like we've got everything, but we really got nothing? The world standards, everything is fine. Everything looks good. We got two car and three car garage now. Not just a one story house. You got a two story house. Not just a lot. Now you got 5 acres. Now you live in large, but you got nothing. You're empty. You thought that promotion would make you feel better. You thought that promotion would really satisfy you. And you, where you are in your career, still empty. Mark is telling you. The Gospel of Mark is explaining to us that the only way that we can really find freedom, really possess everything, is by letting go and following Jesus. Wow. When Jesus heard him, let's go to the third point. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man, "Cheer up. Come on. He's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Again, I want to pause. Hear the Holy Spirit say to you, "What do you want me to do for you?" "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." Jesus responded, "Go, your faith has healed you." Write this, Jesus stops. When Jesus heard him, are you crying loud enough for Jesus to hear? Is your cry desperate enough to ring? As the old hymn of the church said, "Ring the prayer bells of heaven. Oh, how sweetly they ring." When Jesus heard him, he stopped. "Tell him to come here." The cry gets the attention of Jesus. The Message translation puts it this way: Jesus stopped in his tracks. It's like he's walking along and he hears and suddenly, boom, stops. That's a different cry. It's a cry of faith. It's a cry of desperation. Now we know that Mark tells us there's a crowd around him, and you know where there's a crowd, there's chatter. You know where there's a crowd, there's talk. And the theologians tell us there were most likely other beggars there. So they were probably ringing some tin cans, and they were probably making some noise. They were probably even asking, "Help me, help me, help me." But when Jesus heard Bartimaeus, he stopped in his track because he heard the cry of faith. Church, it's the cry of faith that changes everything. It's the cry that leans into desperation that says, "God, I cannot fix myself. I need you. God, I cannot fix my marriage. I need you. God, I cannot heal myself. I need you. God, I cannot deliver my own self. I need you to come and deliver me. God, I need you." Woo. Jesus stopped. He recognizes something in this man. And sometimes we fail to see the beauty around us. Sometimes we're in such a hurry that we never stop. Sometimes we fail to see the talent in others. But not so with Jesus. He recognizes something in this man. Faith to be healed. How many are thankful that Jesus recognized your value? Others may not recognize your value. But Jesus went to Jerusalem because you are valuable to him. So they called the blind man, "Cheer up. Cheer up. Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Jesus' attention turns to the man. Now, I want you to write this. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat. Theologians tell us it was something like a big blanket. Beggars would lay it out before. They'd kneel on it. And people would throw alms on the coat. At night, it would keep them warm. It would be their bed. It also spoke of their identity. It spoke to others of who they were, what their condition was. It spoke to others to have empathy and compassion toward them. Over time, that cloak or coat became his identity. It became who he was because it was his lot in life, because it was his circumstances. He identified with the cloak. He identified with it. It was from here that he was crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy." And when others were telling him, "Be quiet, don't bother the Messiah, don't bother the Christ, he's just passing by," he kept hearing the crowd. And he knew that Jesus had not left, so he cried even louder. There will be those around you who will say, "Be quiet, be silent. He don't want to be bothered by you." But hear me, honey. They don't know what you've gone through. They don't know what you've experienced. Others may tell you, "Just quiet your praise." But they didn't see you last week in trouble, and he came and delivered you. They wasn't there when you were crying, and nobody else was around, but Jesus saw. They didn't know and understand where you were at when he walked out of your life, but Jesus saw you. He heard your cry, and today is your appointed time. Today is your Kairos moment. Today you're declaring, "Jesus, I need you." Or is your life too perfect? Excuse me. Your life is too well put together. I mean, you got everything. Why would you need Jesus? Or are you empty? And do you want him to fill you? Verse 50, he, casting away his garment, rose up and came to Jesus. One theologian writes this: compare Bartimaeus' devotion and casting away his cloak with the rich young ruler who could not bring himself to cast away anything he owned to gain what he wanted. What are you willing to cast away to gain what only Jesus can give you? Or are you going to hold tightly to it? Keep living in the misery, keep living in the shame, keep living in the past, keep living in the bondage, keep living in the emptiness, the loneliness. Or will you come to Jesus? The question, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for you? He responded, "My rabbi, my rabbi, my teacher, my Lord, my Savior." It's only one other time this word, rabboni, is used in the New Testament. It's when Mary sees the resurrected Lord. "My Rabboni, my Lord." It is here Bartimaeus threw everything that was familiar to him away and said, "My Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," Jesus said, "your faith has healed you." He didn't say stay. He said go. Now, the construction here of the verse is he didn't go after the miracle. He went then the miracle. "Go, your faith has healed you." It's interesting, isn't it? Did he wait for the miracle to happen, then he went, or did he go and then the miracle happened? It's kind of like Jesus feeding the 5,000 with the loaf of bread. Many theologians believe it was in the breaking of the bread that it multiplied. That poof, Jesus prayed, and it wasn't just enough that there was enough to feed 5,000. There was still two fish and five loaves of bread. It was in the breaking. It was in the distribution. It was in the moment of letting it go that the miracle took place. See, a lot of times we're waiting for something to happen before we move, and God says, go. A lot of times we're waiting for something to happen before we worship, and God says, go. A lot of times we're waiting for something to happen before we give a response, and Jesus said, go. Thy faith has made thee whole. I wished I had some folk who would say, I'm going. I wished I had some folk who would say, Lord, it's in the breaking, it's in the distribution that the miracle happens. So, Lord, I'm not going to hold on to what I have, but I'm going to break off a little piece and I'm going to give it to somebody. I'm going to distribute what I have, my faith, my song, my worship. And Lord, in my worship, in my praise, my miracle is going to happen. You'll wake up one day and you'll be healed. You'll wake up one day, that addiction will be gone. You'll wake up one day and that prison door will be open. You'll wake up one day and your family will be restored. You'll wake up one day and God will have done the miracle. Somebody give him praise today. Musicians, make your way if you would, please. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus in the way. The New Living Translation says he followed Jesus down the road. There's some debate whether he just went to the outskirts of Jericho or did he follow Jesus all the way to Jerusalem. And there seems to be some indication here through the original language that he followed Jesus in the way, all the way. Crowd was headed to Jerusalem. Now, there's one more. A man who had been healed, who was blind, but now could see. Mark 11 opens up with Jesus in Jerusalem, describing this day 2,000 years ago. As he arrives in Jerusalem, he tells his disciples to go ahead. You'll find a young donkey. Go get him. Untie him. Bring him to me. They did so. They brought the young donkey to Christ. He sits upon it. And he rides down the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem. I've walked the streets where Jesus was riding on the donkey. Down to the Kidron Valley. And up to where the temple was. They laid their coats in the street. They took palm branches. Began to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I can't help but think there was one there crying out, blessed is he who comes in the Lord, because I was blind just yesterday. I was blind, but now I see. I'm worshiping my Lord and my Savior. He followed him in the way. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is powerful. And Lord, you've given some rhema word today. Some rhema thoughts. Now, Holy Spirit, you've done so to quicken hearts and lives today. As our head is bowed and our eyes are closed, I asked you to ponder the question as if the Holy Spirit was asking you directly, what do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you want Jesus to do for you? Do you want him to give you eternal life? He is resurrection and life. He's the author of life. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day that Jesus is passing by the house of your heart. I don't know. I don't claim to be a prophet. I don't know if this is the only time he's going to pass by. It might be. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Jesus wasn't going back to Jericho. Bartimaeus had no way of knowing it. He just knew his time was now, and he wouldn't let it pass him by. So don't let this moment pass you by. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm tired of the emptiness. I'm tired of the brokenness. I'm tired of seemingly having everything, but really having nothing. I need God to create in me a clean heart. I need God to renew a right spirit within me. Today, I want him to hear my cry for help, my cry for salvation. If that's you, lift your hand right now and say, Pastor, pray for me right now. Yes, I see that hand. God loves you. I see that hand. God loves you. God's working and moving. Listen, listen, your heart's pounding. Do it right now. Today's the day of salvation. I see that hand. God, right now is a public confession taking place. Come on, come on, right now. He's passing by. I see that hand. God loves you. I want you to know God's working and moving. Shackles are being broken right now. Shackles are being broken. Prison doors are being opened. Raise your hand right now. Today is your day. I see that hand. Don't let Jesus pass by. Don't let Jesus pass by without you calling out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Let's pray this prayer together, all of us. Jesus, I surrender my life. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. Forgive me. Wash me. Wash me whiter than snow. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Giving me your spirit to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we all stand together? And I wonder, as an expression of faith, can we step out from where we are? And can we as a family come down front? Can we worship the Lord this day? This is your day. This is your day, your moment. Come now, come now, come now. God loves you. God loves you. He has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for your life. You raised your hand. Come forward. Now is the time. Come forward today.